It's 6 o'clock and you're listening to KVNF. This is Local Motion. It's your weekly source for what's happening in your world here on the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. Today we're speaking with Carol Parker. She's the president of the Valley Food Partnership, a Montrose-based nonprofit that works to spread the word about local foods and local farms. She's been involved with the group since it started. She's also a master gardener and says she's been raising and preserving pretty much all of her family's food supply for the past four decades. Ms. Parker joins us to talk about the second annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum, taking place Saturday, January 11th at the Montrose Pavilion. The theme of this year's conference is Making Every Drop Count. Farmers, ranchers, and others in the ag industry will come together to talk about that main topic, water management and conservation issues, but also about new strategies for making the most out of crops and livestock, marketing ag products, and more. First off, Carol, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I definitely want to ask you about the theme for this year's conference, Making Every Drop Count, because that's obviously such a day-to-day issue for people here on the Western Slope when it comes to water supplies. But first, tell me a little bit about where the idea for this conference, specific to Western Colorado, came from.
Well, it came from some work that the Valley Food Partnership had been doing. We actually held a forum in 2011 on a much smaller scale, and the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union and Tri River County Extension, which is associated with CSU, approached me. They wanted to get involved with some activities on the Western Slope, deeper activities revolving around local foods. And they had in the back of their minds to host a conference. So we said to them, hey, let's host a conference together and provide an opportunity for growers and producers on the Western Slope to attend a conference that's convenient to them. The major conference that's been held in the state has been the Big and Small over on the Front Range. And we felt that that take on the situation was validated because last year we had twice the number of attendees that we actually planned for. So we were so pleased with the turnout. We had people from primarily Delta and Montrose, San Miguel and Gunnison counties, but we also had folks from Moab, Durango, Fort Collins. The collaborative effort that this has been has given us a really far reach across the state to let people know about the conference and the really broad range of themes and topic areas that we're covering. Chauvineau Valley Conservation District has joined us this year, as has the City of Montrose. So we're really hoping to grow this conference. We'd love to grow this conference into a two-day event and be able to have the sponsors and the funding to bring some nationally known speakers in.
So the first Food and Farm Forum for our part of the state was held last year. What was the overall goal behind bringing all these ag interests together for a day here in Western Colorado?
Well, the overall goal is to improve the sustainable production, marketing, and consumption of local food. Beyond that, we're bringing producers together who have a lot of depth of experience to share with one another. We're also bringing in some very well-known researchers with a lot of expertise to share as well.
Now, this conference, the one that's being held this year and the one last year, I mean, do you consider these more educational conferences, industry conferences? I mean, what's the approach there?
They're very much educational. Last year, we had a combination of producer panels. We had folks with PhDs from CSU Extension and other areas of expertise, sometimes most of the time in a combination with a producer who's on the ground actually employing and trying to make these methods work and sharing their ideas. We also approach it as a forum, an opportunity for people to network and dialogue about the issues that are out there. And that is where the idea for Making Every Drop Count, our theme around water, came from. We had folks doing a networking exercise together last year, and we asked them, what's the most critical issue facing agriculture on the Western Slope? And water was the number one issue that people identified. So that drove the theme for this year.
Anybody who lives on this side of the mountains knows water is a huge issue and a huge need, but of course there's not necessarily huge supplies of it to go around. So is that sort of the central conversation that's going to be driving these discussions about water use, or what exactly are you going to get into?
Well, it's very timely that we chose water because this year the governor's new water plan for Colorado will roll out 2014. Eric Kuhn is coming over from Glenwood Springs to be our keynote speaker. And Eric is the head, he's the general manager of the Colorado River Conservation District. Mm-hmm. So he's going to talk about the implications of this new water plan. He will also, in his keynote address, and he will also host an hour-long workshop that will focus on water banking, and that is a somewhat controversial part of the new water plan, and he very much wants people to give him input on that, and I think there'll be a lot of great conversation and dialogue in that particular breakout session. Beyond just the supply of water, we also know that we have selenium issues and water quality issues. We have issues with the dust on our snow. You know, there are many issues affecting our water on this part of the state. We do have, you know, control of most of the state's water. And yet we know that as the population grows and the number of farmers shrinks, that we have some tension there between how will the water be shared, used fairly, and how will we maintain as agricultural producers the water quality that and the water supply that we need to stay viable as agricultural businesses.
You mentioned that Eric Kuhn with the Colorado River Water Conservation District will be taking some recommendations from people at the conference for how to address and deal with some of these water issues. So it almost sounds like this conference isn't just limited to folks in the ag industry talking to each other, sharing ideas, but also actually making some policy recommendations. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. In fact, over lunch, we have what we're calling hot tamale forums going on. And this will give people an opportunity to sit at various tables and to have input into various issues. And each table will be posing a question to sort of stimulate dialogue. So it's very much a two-way street at this conference. It's an opportunity to come, learn, be in the breakout session, but it's also a place to go and to share your ideas of what you think the important issues are and how we can best address those.
Now, who are some of the other water management experts or officials that you have that are going to be speaking during this conference?
Well, Aaron Clay will be with us, and he is the former Division 4 water referee, and he's going to be talking about kind of water law and helping producers get their questions answered about what are the implications of this new law for my ditch rights and how I use my water on my property. And so he'll also be a little bit of water law 101 in his session. We'll also have representatives from the Uncompahgre Water Valley users with us. We have a couple of producers who will be talking about the efficient use of water and how they've been experimenting with drip irrigation on one of them on a pretty big operation, one on a more medium-sized operation. But these are folks who have been experimenting pretty heavily for many years, and I think that they'll have a lot of great information to share with people.
So is there a sort of basic philosophy of water use that you hope people will take away from this conference, or is this more of an opportunity for people to come together and to discuss and debate how we manage our water resources?
Well, it's really not structured so much as a debate. It is we are providing time and opportunity to interact with people like Eric Kuhn and Aaron Clay and our local water officials here. So there will be give and take. It's not structured as a debate in any way. Mainly it's educational through the breakout sessions. Almost every session will be bringing water into the mix. The five tracks we have going on are crops, livestock management, and specialty areas. And then we have a special session on a special track with four breakout sessions just on water management alone. So, for instance, in our livestock track, one of the tracks there is about managing grazing in times of drought. And another is about integrating livestock with cover crops. And both of those sessions will certainly be talking about how cover cropping can help you get the most out of your soil and to be building a soil that holds and retains water well. And of course, managing grazing in times of drought obviously will be about the principles of really making good decisions that help you manage the herd and get the most out of your grazing practices when during times when we have very little waterfall. So it's another interesting session in the livestock area will be deficit irrigation with alfalfa. And again, being very, practicing good stewardship and sustainable practices that helping to conserve water and to use it wisely. So, as organizers of the forum, we don't have any particular agenda as far as any of the politics involved in water usage. We're just hoping to bring people together so they'll learn from one another and take away what makes sense to them to go home and to put into practice in their operation. And hopefully we'll learn something from them as they come as attendees.
I want to ask you about the makeup of the people that come to these conferences, both last year and the ones that you're expecting to come to this year, and even the ones that have happened in the past along the Front Range. I hear you talking a lot about sustainability and best practices for sustainability when it comes to crop production, livestock production. Do you have mostly a contingency of organic farmers, small scale farmers? Are there some traditional ag interests represented at these conferences as well?
Well, we have very intentionally tried to be very inclusive in who we hope to appeal to with this conference. We do have, last year we did have many small and medium-sized producers attend. We had organic, natural people who were fairly conventional. We had landowners who are just beginning to get into what can I do to make this ground productive. But primarily, the folks attending are commercial operators, most of them making their living from the land. And so it's really kind of a wide cross section of people who attended last year, and we expect to see the same this year.
So within all these talks about water management and this new water plan, you mentioned that some of the things that the speakers are going to talk about is what are the implications of this new water plan? And when you say implications, do you mean implications specifically for Western Colorado?
Well, I believe Eric Kuhn will focus on sort of the statewide implications for agriculture, and his focus will be agriculture. And then some of our other speakers will be bringing it down more on to the level of the Western Slope. But anytime you talk about water in Colorado, we're tied together not only with the state, but also with the compact agreements that we have with other states. So it's pretty difficult to talk anything about water in isolation without taking into consideration all of the other competing interests out there. So the Colorado River, as you know, serves such a wide geographic area and serves so many diverse interests. And but I really have not been too much in the loop on the new plan, so I'm very excited to learn a lot more about it from Eric while he's here.
And when you say diversity of interests, I mean, there definitely is a diversity, and sometimes it becomes a pretty battleground type of diversity. I mean, even earlier this month, one of the members from Grand County on the Colorado Basin Roundtable said at a meeting there, you know, that the Front Range basically needs to stay away from Western Slope water supplies. And I mean, he said, summarizing the group's sort of decision for what they wanted to tell the Front Range water users, he said, I'm quoting him on this, "Don't goddamn come here anymore," were his words. So, I mean, that's some pretty fiery rhetoric. And I think it, like you said, it plays into this ongoing debate about how do we share and manage water resources that are increasingly more limited and increasingly more in need. I'm wondering if that's something that is going to be delved into at this conference, that very specific and statewide debate of the Front Range needs more water and will continue to need more water, but the Western Slope needs that water to feed all the people that need that water on the Front Range. I mean, is that conflict something specifically that's going to be talked about?
Oh, I'm certain that will come up, in especially in Eric's workshop. And how do we go about fairly sharing a state resource that stems primarily from our mutually owned mountains in this state? And of course, we do have a tremendous amount of agriculture going on in the Front Range as well. So, you know, there's always that tug of war between urban and rural. And I think as people begin to have a better understanding of their local food system and how important that is, you know, we deal with people on a daily basis that seem to miss the fact that a great deal of food is grown within this state, and that it makes us stronger when we are able to produce a great deal of our own food right here in Colorado, rather than importing it, in many cases, as we're doing now, from not just a neighboring state, but from countries. We're shipping a lot of food here from foreign countries all of the time. So, and I think developing those types of understandings in the general population, that we do have a lot of food production going on in the state, keeping that strong. We have a lot of industry with our ski industry. We, you know, keeping the economy strong and diversified, and fairly sharing the resource that we are all very much dependent upon. It's a tricky thing. And but I think as the different stakeholders have more and more connection to one another, that it becomes possible to bring that kind of thing about. So we'll see how the new water plan rolls out in Colorado, but I certainly would encourage people to come hear Eric's keynote address, become more informed, so that we can all have input into that and know what's going on.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago that you think there needs to be a lot of work done in just educating people on where food comes from and the fact that it can be produced locally and sustainably. And that's sort of the focus of your organization, the Valley Food Partnership. Is that correct?
Yes, very much so. We do a lot of educational programs. We are very involved in school and community gardens. We're involved in the North Fork quite a bit with operations like Teens on Farms. That's under the Valley Food Partnership. So getting kids out working on farms, developing an understanding of where their food come from, having them participate in the farming process, it's all very important. And it's pretty amazing how divorced we've come in many instances from knowing that, you know, how a watermelon grows, or where peas come from, how milk is produced. Some of these very basic questions, we go into elementary schools and kids really are very thirsty for that kind of information. And in many cases, they just need to know the basics of how plants grow.
I always like to ask this of people whenever we're talking about local foods and local farms. How do you personally define local? I mean, we're such a, you know, a dispersed population out here in Western Colorado, and we consider, you know, people miles and miles away our neighbors. So what's your definition of sourcing locally when it comes to food?
Well, for the Valley Food Partnership, we consider local food really anything that's produced on the Western Slope, because that actually is the reach of the Valley Food Partnership. Any activity we do, we try to reach out to growers across the Western Slope. And that's one reason this conference is called the Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum. But many local food initiatives define it differently. Some of them will go within a 100-mile radius or 300-mile radius. I know some people who consider local food to be within the boundaries of the state of Colorado. So it very much depends on the organization, I think, and the organization's goals.
So you mentioned to me earlier today that your organization, the Valley Food Partnership, is going to have some scholarships available for budding farmers. Tell me more about that.
We are offering scholarships to beginning farmers and to some 4-H FFA kids.
And what are the stipulations of these scholarships? Are these scholarships designed for people who want to start their own farms or just getting into it, or...
Well, the qualifications to receive a scholarship are pretty easy. We are really trying to support that next generation of farmer. So the qualifications to receive a scholarship are just that you've been in farming less than three years or less, or that you're currently involved in an internship or an apprenticeship. Hmm. And we're also offering some limited scholarships to 4-H and FFA students, with the hope of also bringing them to the conference to participate in the educational workshops. And so in return, we're just asking them to provide a few hours of volunteer time at the conference. But we really do primarily want them to be in the sessions, learning right along with everybody else.
Let me ask you about that. I mean, I think it's no secret that the average age of the American farmer continues to grow. And like you mentioned, when we started talking, the number of farmers in this country is on the decline. So, I mean, do you think that there's a need to encourage young people to start farming again?
Absolutely. And that's one of our big focuses, is to support and encourage not only our existing farmers, but to encourage that next generation of farmer. And to demonstrate that this can be a very viable way to earn a living. And that's why we have a whole strand that's focused on marketing and financial management. We're having a great breakout session on whole farm business planning during this conference. So that's a good place. You know, if you don't pay attention to the bottom line, you don't stay in business very long. So we'll be having the LandLink program at the conference. And LandLink is a way for beginning farmers to connect with landowners who have a piece of ground that they would like somebody to come in and be farming it, producing something with it. So they'll be at our conference, and aspiring farmers can sign up, or if you're a landowner, you can get signed up with them. And what LandLink drives to facilitate is that connection between the farmer and the landowner, so that a good lease is put in place that's fair to both parties. And they have a great deal of expertise and experience in doing that.
So this is a very broad question. I always like to close with these, it seems like. But being so involved in the local food movement and local farms, and having such a history with local foods yourself, where are we, generally speaking, with that movement? I mean, is it strong? Is it growing? Are there challenges ahead still? What does the future look like for local foods, and specifically here in Western Colorado?
I think across the country, there's been a great surge in the local food movement. And we've seen farmers markets return to this country in force. I was looking at a graph the other day, and for the last 10 years, we've seen a tremendous increase in farmers markets. We've seen a tremendous increase in people who are selling directly into local markets. That being said, I think there are a tremendous number of challenges out there. The Food Modernization Act that just is being, those regulations are going into effect this year. And there are a number of people working on those issues, trying to put waivers in place and mechanisms to ensure the health of the family farm. So yes, it's challenging on a number of different levels, but it's really encouraging to me to see the young people who are very, very interested in this movement. And to I've met so many wonderful farmers out there who've been making their living doing this for the last 35 years. The Montrose Market, Farmers Market, celebrated their 35th anniversary this year, and there are still people who have solely supported their families by farming and selling locally that are still participating in the Montrose Farmers Market. And that's a wonderful thing, to have that history and yet to have that hope of the future with the young people who are coming along and getting involved at this point.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. We've been speaking with Carol Parker. She's the president of the Valley Food Partnership. It's a Montrose-based nonprofit that's helping to present this year's second annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum. That's taking place Saturday, January 11th at the Montrose Pavilion. Carol, thanks again so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. I think we're going to have a very, very interesting and educational day.
All right, that was Carol Parker. She's the president of the Valley Food Partnership based in Montrose. If you want to find out more about this food and farm forum we've been talking about, you can go online to valleyfoodpartnership.org or foodfarmforum.org. Thanks for listening to Local Motion today. For KVNF, I'm Travis Bubinick. Stay tuned for The Treatment from KCRW. That's coming up next.